Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are continuing on in our week, just going through the readings of the day. And so far, each and every time we've read these, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there's been so much fruit that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us, ways that the Holy Spirit's been taking us deeper and deeper. And it's amazing to see the connections of the readings through the week. At the beginning of the week, we started with the Psalm and the Gospel of just saying, is the Lord really our protector? Is he our guardian? And are we growing in the Beatitudes? Are we actually becoming kingdom people? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us? And then we dove into some stories about Elijah, and we see Elijah as hiding. He's hiding out from the people who are trying to kill him. He's timid, but the Lord calls him out to go and help this widow. And so as he comes back out of fear into his prophetic gifting, into what God's asking him to do, he actually is a path of provision for this widow who is afraid that the Lord won't provide for her. Going back to that question of that psalm on Monday, is the Lord our provider? Is he our protector? What are those ways that we're allowing him to provide? What are those ways that we're allowing him to protect? And yesterday we continued in Elijah, and we were in like this movie scene of Elijah calling down the fire of God on the altar, and the prophets of Baal trying to call down the fire of God on their altar, and Baal not answering. And Elijah's like, maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's on a walk. You know, Elijah's kind of taunting them. But we see this image in what we read yesterday of approaching the one true God to ask God to consume us, and then approaching idols and kind of begging these idols to answer us and getting nowhere and all these different things. And then Elijah approaching the one true God, and truly how our idea, our desire should ultimately be not just to like root out sin, not just to have a good life, but be consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, to have everything. I love in what we read yesterday, it said the wood, the stones, the altar, the sacrifice, the water, they were consumed by the fire. And just what Elijah said at the beginning, it says the God who sends down fire is the true God, the God that responds with fire. And when we ask God, when we approach him, he responds with fire. And so we want to continue on today. We're in the memorial of St. Barnabas, who was one of Paul's right-hand men, and he was known as an encourager. And so we're shifting out of Elijah, but we're going to hopefully do the first reading and the gospel today, and we're going to be back in Acts. We've been in Acts a lot in this season of the church, and we're back in Acts. But let's go ahead and pray, ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, and then see what God wants to speak to us today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the one true God. Every other God is an idol. The things that we turn to, the things that we go to, consume them, destroy them in our lives, and we present ourselves as a living sacrifice today. That's a dangerous prayer. But we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Burn us up. Take us to your altar and consume us, Lord. However that looks today, all we have is the next moment. All we have is today. Do that in the next moment. Do that in today. Give us the grace to give ourselves wholly to you. We ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 11, verse 21. This is going to be a reading about Barnabas, and then it's going to skip forward to 13. In those days, a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart, for he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And a large number of people was added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large number of people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So we're celebrating today the feast of St. Barnabas the Apostle. And so again, I love how many times in Acts it starts the reading by saying, in those days, a great number turned to the Lord. How we're always seeing a great number turning to the Lord. Like the Lord is working. The Lord is at work. And Barnabas, this is such a good picture of Barnabas, says Barnabas goes to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the grace of God and he rejoiced and encouraged them all. But I think this is so interesting because he doesn't just encourage them being like, yay, you got it. Way to go. You know, you're doing great. Everything's perfect. You know, he says he encourages them to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. So he's not just like Barnabas wasn't, he's known as the encourager, but he wasn't just like some cheerleader. He goes and working along with Paul, Paul's preaching and Barnabas is like, we have to remain firm to the teaching. I love this description. I kind of want this to be described as me. He was a good man filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. He was a good man filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And I think that's so beautiful because when a lot of us like look back on our legacy, one, how will we be described? And two, how do we want to be described? Like that's so simple. It's like, am I okay with being described in such that simple way? And again, a large number was added to the Lord twice. In that paragraph, a large number was added to the Lord through the encouragement of Barnabas. And so he goes and he begins to work with Paul. He begins to work with Saul. And so they're in the church of Antioch and there's all these teachers and leaders meeting and they're worshiping and they're fed. This is really important. They're worshiping the Lord and fasting. And fasting is so important. This is something I really, really need to improve on. Is fasting is something that actually opens us up to hear the Lord in a particular way. I'm really bad at fasting. I'm really bad at like sticking with things like that. Like I was like, oh, I'm going to do even like this impossible novena. I did it for like 2 days. I need to get back on it. Hopefully Mary will still listen to me, even though I've been falling off. But fasting in a particular way, it breaks down our physical and our emotional ways to actually be able to hear the Lord in a way that's more clear. He says, with prayer and fasting. So they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, and they heard the Holy Spirit set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And so this is beautiful. God has a particular work for them, and the church prays over them and sends them off. They're not like, why am I not called? Why was it Barnabas and not me? Why was it Paul and not me? But there's this beautiful unity of Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and the other ones who were there. They're like, let's pray over him and send them out. This is what the Lord is saying. And so I think there's a really important thing here. One, how are you encouraging people in your life? How are you holding them up? How are you speaking into their life? How are you being encouraging to them? And two, how do we respond when the Holy Spirit asks us something? Are we the ones who want to be set apart, or are we encouraging others in the mission that God has for them in a particular way? Such a beautiful reading on this feast of Barnabas. So now let's go to the gospel. We're back in Matthew 5, 20 through 26. And again, Jesus is going to have a challenging word for the Pharisees and his followers and those who are listening. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. First of all, Jesus is saying, you, unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and Pharisees. So these are the people that the Jews have known to be the holiest people. They're set up in front of the Jews as these are the holy ones to follow. And he's saying, unless your righteousness surpasses them, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And so there's a way of saying, Jesus, like, that's crazy. That's a tall order. How do we do that? But he's saying, I've been telling you that the scribes and the Pharisees, they're not clean on the inside. There's not the cleanliness on the inside of the cup. And there's a work of the Spirit that has come to cleanse you on the inside of the cup. And I have come to make you righteous. And so your righteousness is attached to me. And so follow me, give yourself to me, and your righteousness will surpass the Pharisees. And now he's saying, you have heard it said. So he's saying, this is in the law, you shall not kill. But he's saying, whoever now is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Who has been angry with somebody? I have, right? And he's not saying like righteous anger. He's saying who's been angry with their brother in an unrighteous way, right? And he's saying you're liable to judgment. And then he says, whoever says raka shall be in danger of counsel. These words are like, it was like an insult. That's an Aramaic term meaning like worthless, good for nothing. It shows contempt for a person. And so the Lord is saying, if you have this contempt for a person, you'll be answerable to the council. Whoever says you fool shall be liable to the fires of hell. Jesus is communicating. This is how valuable community relationships are. That I have come to give you mercy. And so if you're coming, he shows it again here. He says, if you bring your gift to the altar, but you have to reconcile something with your brother and you haven't, don't come to the altar. Friends, if you're going to mass and you're going to receive communion and you have this anger and this bitterness against your brother that you've not tried to resolve, he's saying, go resolve it. He's saying, this is so important to me that you go first to reconcile with your brother. Jesus takes reconciliation very, very, very seriously. And sometimes that can't happen, but we have to do it the best in our power, saying, what is the posture of my heart towards trying to reconcile with my brother or with my sister or my, you know, my brother in Christ, my sister in Christ. And sometimes for me, there's been times where I've tried to reconcile and it doesn't work. And then I'm like, whatever. And I last in this forgiveness. And then I turn back to the bitterness and anger. I turn back to that. But he's saying, go and reconcile, settle with your opponent. You can settle. This is something God's been convicting me of that I haven't. Honestly, I need more and more grace to do that. I can settle with my opponent without my opponent settling with me. I can come to that place of being settled in my heart. And he's saying, if you don't, the judge will hand you over to the guard. You will receive the judgment that you're meting out. And so this is something of the Lord saying, Lord, help me. Help me be merciful. Help me to not hold on to pain and bitterness. This is something I'm so in process of, friends, and that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me as well. But to ask right now to say, first, some of those questions from the beginning, where can I encourage? Where can I be more encouraging to others? And two, where am I holding unforgiveness and bitterness and not allowing myself, even if it's just a one-sided thing, to be reconciled with somebody that I'm holding something against? Where do I need to be reconciled? Where do I need to encourage? And where do I need to let bitterness go so that God's mercy can flow through me? And what does that look like? Because it doesn't look like saying bad things are okay. So God, help us to be encouragers and help us to be merciful. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.